Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. The Bad Boys of the Midday are joined by our Sacktown Sports Kings insiders, Brandon Nunez and Frankie Cardicelli. And, you know, every time we do this Kings roundtable, we have conversations about the trade machine. But before we even bust it out, if we feel like we need to, that is the question. Do you guys think we need to? I mean, Brendan, you've been very vocal about maybe Monty McNair standing pat this season. If something doesn't seem like, you know, it would go in the right direction or wouldn't be a good deal.
By the way, sorry.
What's
real
going
quick.
On, Chris? I see you making. That's why
we have
I'm
injury
pausing.
Report here.
Okay.
The Boston Celtics have ruled out Jason Tatum, Al Horford, and
Whoa.
Luke Kornet for
That's
tonight's
a dub.
Game.
That's a dub.
Wow.
Don't say.
What are you
well.
Doing right now?
What's wrong with you,
what? D? A dub for who? Celtics guy.
What do you mean?
Right.
Whoa,
relax.
You know what's interesting about that? I wonder. I'd love to talk to the trainers because the same thing happened with De'Aaron Fox. Is this something with an injury when they're okay with, hey, Jason Tatum can finish the game.
Right.
It's not going to affect anything. It's probably going to swell up anyway. So we'll just let his adrenaline take him the rest of the game.
Right.
You know, because why would he finish that game?
That's happened before. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I've seen it be like a standard practice around the NBA. Like, because once that ankle gets, once you get off that
once
ankle.
Once you stop moving,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, but I think when the medical staff looks at you and they can tell that no structural damage has taken place and they can tell it's really just a basic ankle sprain. You've seen the Kevin Durant's. He finished a game a week ago. De'Aaron Fox has finished a couple of games on an ankle. He did it against the Lakers. And then Tatum last night didn't look great. Probably shouldn't have been out there, in my opinion,
That's
at the end
I'm
of that
saying.
Game.
Yeah.
So you have to know, as a competitor, it's tough, though. These guys all want to battle it out till the end, especially on a game like that. Warriors-Celtics on national TV. That's what the kind of games that you live for. And I do think that it would have been better if he was off the floor. You have to know when it's time to sit down and let that ankle heal up.
Does that make you feel any differently? Because in Warriorville, I'm sure they're on your timeline as well, Brendan. Oh, my goodness. Kuminga had Jason Tatum on Alcatraz last night. Does that make you feel any differently thinking, well, he was clearly limited, didn't want to come out the game?
I'm not going to rain on his parade. Kuminga could use some good nights. You know, I thought he played great, actually.
Shine.
I thought he played really well last night. The play that he had, by the way, where he pointed at Clay do something, and then he pointed at Steph to do something, I was like, whoa, this dude's confident, bro. That's crazy.
You got a bag? You
That's
know?
Crazy.
You got a bag?
And then a poster at the end.
A poster.
Okay.
That was the
okay.
thing. He made it work. If you don't make that work, that's on Shaq and Fool.
That's like when Jeremy Lin waved off Kobe.
Yes. Yes.
Incredible.
Same idea. So if you're just now joining us, Chris has stated they have put out the injury report. No Al Horford, who typically does not play second half of back-to-backs, and no Jason Tatum after that rolled ankle. Yes, you did see correctly. He finished the game against the Warriors, but he was out. He was out for what felt like at least half a quarter. Right. And then he came back in, probably was just fighting through it. Didn't look like he had any extra tape or extra ankle brace on it. And now the Celtics are decided again, they have to go down to L.A. Their road trip is not done. And this could be an Adam Silver type deal. Hey, you guys got two L.A. games. And on Monday, on Christmas, you got to take on the Lakers. Let's make sure you're good for the Lakers. I think it could be a part of it.
I think the big thing from the Kings' perspective in this game, though, is like they've been big on attacking mismatches this year, and Boston's normal starting five wasn't going to have one. And now, like, my guess is Sam Hauser
I was gonna
goes
say,
into
who
that.
Who starts
I think
for
it's
Tatum.
Hauser. I think it's Hauser.
Because, I mean, you look at the guys who came off the bench for the Celtics yesterday, and it's I mean, Nemias Cato was really their best
he
bench player.
Now,
as nuts as that is to say, like, they don't really have much of any depth at all. So, like, I mean, obviously losing Tatum's a huge blow, but I would say the Kings' depth has been a little bit overblown from what we thought it was going to be in the season at the beginning of the season. But to me, it feels like today is the day where you want to see the depth really take you the rest of the way, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And right now, I'm already looking. When you said that, I'm already thinking about. There's never been a bigger guarantee than Demias Keita having just a monster double double tonight. Like that's just an absolute guarantee.
Never looks more physical than he's going to tonight.
What do you have a double double off the bench last
10
night?
10-10 Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and he's still on a 2-way contract. Mm-hmm. So I mean, yeah, definitely gonna be a test of the depth tonight. Again, like we talked about, Kristaps Porzingis is gonna be playing tonight, and obviously hasn't been a guy that's caused the Kings problems in the last couple seasons, but different guy in this Celtics system, and I think that's one thing that. Makes Boston so good and interesting this year is that Kristaps Porzingis has kind of tapped back into that game that made him so good earlier in his career. And no shortage of guys that can hurt the Kings still. Again, they like to let it fly from three, and you can expect Derek White, Jaylen Brown, and Porzingis to keep that attack going tonight.
Well, you know, if you're the Kings, your mindset can't change because that's where you get burned. And even though Jaylen Brown cooled off, Jaylen Brown is – it feels like he's notorious for hot starts and just disappearing later in the game. That's exactly what happened last night. I mean, he was on fire, and in part with Jason Tatum being out. And then they combined for 7 points, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, between the fourth quarter and overtime. And I know there are a lot of jokes about Jaylen Brown, but did you see him? He drove.
Yeah.
He drove with his left a couple times. I mean, he got swatted. But he can dribble now with his left hand. He's trying out. It feels like, you know, when you go to the park and I'm going to try out some new moves, right? So he's trying out some new moves. And, you know, I know the Celtics, like I said, they're second in net rating. They are still going to be a problem defensively. And the Kings can't take their foot off the gas. So this is going to be a huge stretch for them. As we discuss, before we got the injury news, thank you to Chris. We are getting shout-outs. Or Chris, you are getting shout-outs on the Sack Chat from QQ. Man, even ESPN hasn't updated their injury report. 1140, getting it hot off the press. That's right. Hot and fresh. Easy Bake Oven. Like, you know, you guys ever have Hot Pockets or anything like that?
Oof. Yeah, not an Easy Bake, but yeah.
Not an Easy Bake. You could. You probably could.
Probably could.
Get a nice crust on it.
That's like there some media food right there.
Speaking of, well, maybe tonight. Speaking of machines, the train machine. Oh, gosh.
It's true.
Are we putting, No.
We're not getting crazy.
But hold on. We don't, that's my whole point of this.
Yeah.
We don't have to do this.
Okay.
If you think, hey, you know, you just like we said, Chris was just in Vegas. You want to move things, you want to let it ride, right? Frankie, you letting it ride?
I think we're letting it ride until there's a reason to not, like, let it ride. I mean, until you hit that cold streak. I mean, the Kings have been playing so well lately, and it's kind of a similar approach to last year as far as being protective. And one thing that we talked about on our podcast yesterday was we don't know who's going to be available a year from now. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest trade chip, and I'm saying chip as far as not really – an enticing asset, but from a contractual standpoint, Harrison Barnes is that contract that would have to move in a big deal. Mm-hmm. And I think when you have that contract that he still has 3 years on his deal, trading a contract with a year and change or 2 years is a lot easier, I think, than what's left right now. And I think until the Kings are in a point where, hey, things aren't really working, I don't really see a need to make a move. Now, maybe calling some around-the-edges type moves, sure. But anything that's going to completely reshape this rotation and lineup, I don't know if now is the exact right time. I think there is going to be down the road, but I don't know what need is going to be addressed, obviously outside of the fact that the Kings can protect the paint as well as they have been able to, or as well as they should. The reports we've seen are like the Kings are saying they want to add more shooting. I'm not sure how much more shooting you could possibly add to a team that really has just shooters on shooters. So I'm on the side of wait and see.
I got an example that I think correlates to this conversation, okay? So let's say you're doing a fringe, you're trying to upgrade the starting lineup, but you're not touching the big three, right? Harrison Barnes for Dorian Finney-Smith, but you throw in two first-round picks, right? So the complication here, right, is that I think you could get those protections taken off that Atlanta pick with ease. Yeah. So let's say it's just the 2024 pick. All of a sudden, you can't trade your 2025, right? If we're talking during this season, at the time of the draft, you could, but you can't trade your 2025, so it would have to be 2026 and 2028, meaning then, if you want to make another move after the fact, your hands are tied until pick-wise until 2030 and then 2032, you know? So while I like Dorian Finney-Smith, I think he's a big upgrade over Harrison Barnes and the type of guy, like I look at Denver, the KCP and Aaron Gordon are head and shoulders above Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes, you know? And I think the other big three are somewhat similar when it comes to those two teams. But you go out and make a move like that, puts you in a tough spot. So while I would talk myself into something like that, I'm kind of a fan, like Frankie's talking about, like, sit and wait. You never know who's going to become available.
Yeah, I think that if anything, very similar to the Shohei news, the Kings should wait and see what dominoes fall first. They don't have a reason to go out and force anything. And I think that's what they'll do. And especially if they go out and they win these three straight up, that is going to really put that thing in storage. Okay. You're going to need to find a lock and key to get the trade machine out, which will make me sad, but will make everybody else on this panel very happy.
And my
blood pressure. Yeah. All right. Got to get to a break. Last thoughts with Brendan and Frankie when we get back. Any other Western Conference teams, new teams, Ja Morant's back. Should we worry about Ja? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Joined by our Sacktown Sports Kings insiders, Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli. One more segment. You guys have been doing a great job. I know you got to get on out of here. Get ready for tonight's big game, which we have confirmed. Our own Chris Watkins has confirmed Jason Tatum will not be playing. And Al Horford and his elbow, who pointed at the sun, will not be playing either. It's a weird looking shot.
It is funny. It's really funny.
It does not catch as much flack.
I love me some Al Horford. I love me some Al Horford. Al Horford jersey. I'm not going to lie.
At this point,
he's so soft.
That elbow works, bro.
He's so soft.
That elbow
not last
works.
Night.
He's like a center version of Harrison Barnes. Like, I mean, wow. I think he's a little more productive.
That's a very
good
comparison.
That's what his role is essentially on that team. Just do dirty stuff and, like, hit that open corner three at the end of the game if you're open.
Glue guy.
Yeah. Much better defender, Zach Harper.
Than Harrison Barnes.
Yes.
Was he 40 years old?
Yeah.
I know you guys are up on the basketball world and everything happening. And Ja Morant has returned, and he did it in really only a way like Ja Morant could. And the announcers for the broadcasters for the Grizzlies said something to the effect of, and they begin their return to
relevancy
in the Western Conference. What are the chances that the Grizzlies, I mean, were, you know, how many games in? About 25 games in. Obviously, there's 82 games. Is it possible for the Grizzlies to really turn this thing around? The Kings face the Grizzlies, what is it, next? I think the end of next
New Year's
week?
Eve.
Yeah,
New Year's Eve. So they will have to see Ja Morant. What do you think about the Grizzlies? Do you think they could make this thing happen? And if so, what's the level, realistically? Just adding, so now you have, we started the season, I would say, more worried about the Warriors than we are right now, and maybe more worried about the Lakers than we are right now. And now, this far into the season, I would say we're more worried about the Clippers than maybe we originally were. We're more worried about the Thunder than we originally were. I know Chris and I both had the Timberwolves finishing high, but I would say we're probably a little bit more worried about the Timberwolves. I'm not talking Kings and their Pelicans problem, but just the basketball world. Do you think the Grizzlies can get into that conversation, or is it, all right, It's a long road ahead, and, you know, to overreact to one game might be a little much.
It is a long road. I think they're like about 6 games out of that 10 seed, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But Ja is what makes that team run. Yeah. Like, it only makes sense, that roster construction, when Ja is out there.
Well, they cashed out Desmond Bane, though.
Yeah, and Desmond Bane's really good, but he also really benefits from Ja being out there, you know? So, and they got some other injuries as they start to get guys back. Marcus Smart gets back in that lineup, see how he fits into Ja. I think they'll have a chance to get back in the conversation, but I kind of view the rest of this season as prove that you're still that team, even if you don't end up making noise in the postseason or you're a play-in exit. Like, prove that next year you're going to be back at it, pretty much.
Well, I think that's a good call, because one thing that we continue to talk about with the Grizzlies, they are incredibly young. I mean, incredibly young. And fortunately for them, they can trick off 2 seasons and still all be, okay, now we're all 25.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's how young they are. So, yeah, that's a team where I think you hit the nail on the head, Brendan. Maybe not this season. Hopefully not if you're a Kings fan. But going back to the idea of not doing anything or moving forward, not trying to bust out the trade machine. My point, hold on, Frankie. No, I'm not. My point
I didn't
is,
say anything.
No, I saw your face, and the YouTubers saw your face as well. My point is that there's always going to be a team up and coming. The Thunder will be a year older. The Timberwolves will have another year under their belt. The Grizzlies will return. So that is an argument to maybe, okay, we can wait it out, but you need to wait it out, but also wait it out only if you think you can do damage. You think LeBron is going to keep rocking with this team? You think the Warriors are just going to ride with Jonathan Kuminga? I mean, something's always happening.
Yeah, I mean, there's no guarantees in the NBA. I mean, no one's ever untradeable. There's always moves that can be made. In this case in particular, I'm looking at Memphis right now. They have the sixth hardest remaining strength of schedule in the NBA right now, and that's the fourth in the Western Conference. You have Phoenix, who's number one. Portland, they're out of the picture. Utah, out of the picture. Then you have the Lakers and Memphis in those top six spots. I think that you can never count anybody out. And again, what is it, seven-game gap? They get hot, but when you look at this, I'm looking at two matchups against the Bucks, two against the 76ers, three against the Kings, three against Denver, three against Minnesota. I don't know. And you're 12 games under already. Like, it's kind of a reverse head start. And I don't know if John Morant's enough to pull them out of that tailspin.
What a world that the Kings are on that list of the tough matchups. You know,
they are getting used to that. Strange. They're right here in tough Milwaukee, toughest opponents. They have two against the Kings. It's pretty crazy to look at. Yeah.
Yeah. When I look at the Grizzlies, I'm not really worried about them. You do have the Clipper. I think the Clippers are a much bigger issue.
Yeah.
I would say for the, not just the Kings, for everybody, but even the, I mean, I think when I look at the Pelicans, I think that the Kings have maybe just, I think it is a bad matchup, but I would still take the Kings to eventually figure it out.
And they won't, the Pelicans. Like, odds are they probably won't.
And they won't.
I
mean, you got Zion's ex going crazy on social media again today. So it's, yeah.
What, there's more
today? It's wild.
It just dropped today. It's wild. It just dropped today. And you can go check out the video or not.
We got 10 minutes. Hot off. I'm going to dive into this one.
Hot off the press.
Dive into this one.
It's your life. She's calling him out, and it's out of control.
She told him to get on the treadmill.
Yeah.
No, she did. She literally did.
She did. She really did. We listened during one of the breaks.
God, she's talking to Stephen A. That's crazy.
No, seriously.
The word is out. Okay.
So you got that going on, but the Clippers. That's
this league.
That's
man.
This league. Hashtag this
the Clippers
league.
Are a problem to me. They're a problem.
Yeah, I think that they're. I mean, there's so many tough teams in the West. I mean, you kind of joked about it earlier in the show, but yeah, you kind of do need to add the Grizzlies and maybe now even the Warriors into the matchups where it's just like, this is not a night off. Like in the league, especially in the Western Conference, we're just looking for a couple nights where it's like, you know, maybe we don't have to give our full effort. Maybe we can give player X a rest tonight. Mm-hmm. But it just seems like as the season's going on, doesn't seem like teams are getting worse. The teams are not getting less healthy. It feels like everyone's just kind of coming into shape. And it feels like, frankly, I mean, the Kings are also a team that if you're playing them right now, you're playing them at their best as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that, you know, we talk about the Warriors and the Clippers, but, you know, with Keegan playing how he's playing right now, I would argue the Kings are looking about as good as they've looked all season long, too. So I guess it kind of just is in the spirit of the holiday.
Yeah, and when you discuss the expectations about the Kings, that's really where the trade machine can stay out or get put away. You have, if you had the pulse of the fans and people that listen to your podcast, by the way, we talked injuries on the Celtics side. Malik Monk is questionable as well with an illness.
Right foot.
Well, right
soreness.
Foot, right foot soreness. So Malik Monk, right foot irritation.
Irritation. Yeah.
Yeah. So, so
very Malik broad. Monk,
yeah.
Which, very broad. You know, that's kind of, I think they're maybe withholding a little bit. De'Aaron's was right shoulder irritation. We could get more details, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They could provide more details, is all I'm saying.
Well, they could. Maybe there's a reason they're not.
Mm. Oh, I'm sure there's some reasons.
Well, they're very protective over the Kings and their injuries and whatnot. And, you know, that's not how every other team runs their injury process.
Right, have you ever? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this is always interesting when you don't
see
it.
The Yankees do the same thing.
Because we're at the game, so sometimes it's harder to hear what's going on, and we have to literally be on social media to see. Do we know when the irritation happened?
No, I mean, I looked at the injury reports on the 11:30. Mm-hmm. It was not listed. 12:30 was listed. And I know they had shoot around this morning. Maybe it flared up at, during shoot. We'll find out, I'm sure, during pregame when Mike Brown addresses the media. But, you know, even if Malik Monk can't go, I think that the Kings have enough firepower. And again, like you said, Chris, they're playing some good basketball. Honestly, arguably playing some of their best basketball since the beginning of last year. I mean, this is a 5-of-6 stretch, and they're 16-9 right now. They have a chance to, I think, have their best start since, I mean, they're already having it since 0405, but every game that they win, it seems like they're getting some other milestone or some other best start since whatever date from 15, 16 years ago. So, you know, winning is fun, and winning at home is good. The Kings were not a good home team last year. They were okay, but this year they've been a dominant team at home. So if they can keep that going against a very good team, yeah, I think Kings fans should feel good going into this weekend's back-to-back, no matter who they're playing.
By the way, this new time slot that we've had with you guys kind of rolls right into our dog segment, and we have a couple minutes left before we do our full-blown dog segment, sponsored by nobody yet, but it can be you. Call in 916-339-1140. So before we let you two go.
You want us to bark?
No, we have sounders. I mean, if you want to. Okay.
That'll get clipped real quick.
Yeah, you got DMX side bars? What's going on here?
No.
So give us your two dogs of the game. Who's going to ball out? I've been banned from picking Kevin Herter. Okay. One of you can pick Kevin Herter, but I am banned from picking Kevin Herter.
Can I just throw back to when Peyton Pritchard left, was it Summer League? And
then came back
in the finals after going crazy in a pro-am, and Davion Mitchell locked him up. So
72 points.
I just wanted to mention that. Davion's a dog. He ain't really playing, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to go Keon Ellis. the guy that replaced him. I'm going Keon Ellis, especially if there's no Malik out there. Yeah. And I think that he has really gotten more comfortable recently. Last game got a little maybe trigger happy with some of his shots. But I like what he provides on the defensive end of the floor. I'm going to go a little bench spark with Keon Ellis.
I like that. I like that. Frankie, who you got?
I'm sticking with the bench. And I liked his minutes last game. I think he's going to have a good night tonight. Sasha Vezenkov. I've been liking what I'm seeing on the boards, too. I mean, he's been a sneaky, decent rebounder. He kind of isn't athletic and soaring over people, but able to kind of just find his right angle to get a board.
You know,
high 8 boards the other day.
Yeah, like very limited minutes.
How long? I was asking Chris this. Maybe you guys can, and I know we got to get to a break, but quickly, how long does it take for a player to get a sounder? When is Sasha going to get a sounder after his threes?
You have an idea? Like,
no,
he needs a thing. Like, you need to have a thing. Yeah. You know, like, it has to
maybe like
come.
A bow and arrow, like an arrow sound because of his, I don't know.
So, like,
we got to brainstorm a little bit.
What's
we
his name brainstorm from, a bit. From Lord of the Rings? Was it Legolas?
Legolas.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
for sure.
It's kind of close.
Yeah.
I got nothing for Sasha. I'm not going to lie.
What about like a Link, right? I'm thinking.
Oh,
Legend.
Like from
Zelda?
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be Link. Zelda?
Yeah, there you go. How long? Could he get one this season? Or you got to be here a season.
There's got to be like some like meme attached to you.
Things
I don't know. Dave is shoehorning this Domantas Sabonis chant.
It worked.
Has it?
Did
I think
it?
It's, has it? Has it? I think last game was the best it ever was.
We just said we couldn't hear it last game.
Really?
I heard it.
It's do up they and down. Play it?
They play. Oh, they
but
definitely
they just play.
Play.
The dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, they have to be like encouraged or shown like this is what we're doing.
I think it's gonna get better.
Well, only you can help.
I'm going to need some barks from you on this next segment. You can't have a dog who's the dog. Yeah, but like, how have you done this for this long and you've never barked?
We've barked before.
Okay.
All right.
Not that I'm trying to hear y'all bark.
These guys got to get out of here. We got to get to a break. Frankie Cardicelli, Brendan Nunes, make sure you follow them on social media. Make sure you read what they're putting out on SacktownSports.com. And make sure you listen to Return of the Roar. We'll be right back with our dog segment, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Thank you again to Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli, our Sacktown Sports Kings insiders. Thank you to Simone as well, doing a great job. Brought me some agua. I was a little parched, you know, short breaks. Simone is hooking it up, so thank you.
Is that
you
what
too.
Happened? It looked like a little pit stop there. I thought she was collecting a bottle. She was helping you out.
We don't have a working water fountain.
Yeah,
that's right. So we're working through. I'm going to call some.
Producer of the year
I'm
going to
call
there.
Some that's people. We're going to get it figured out probably after this segment. And it is the DOG, the dog segment. And there you go. That Brendan will be happy about that bark right there as we get ready to pick our dogs for the Celtics, and we want your help. 916-339-1140 if you want to be a part of the conversation to pick your dog. Also on the text line, also on the Sack Chat, the YouTube chat. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Chris Watkins, we haven't started with you in a while. Let's start with you.
Yeah, let's go. My dog for today is going to be Domantas Sabonis.
Okay.
And honestly, this has a lot to do, as we know, Sabonis is, I wouldn't say he's selective, but if you look at the games in which he typically goes off or is better than his normal 17, 12, and 8 that we've become accustomed to every game, it's usually because the matchup he has is one that he feels like he could take advantage of. And if Al Horford's not playing tonight, which he is out on the injury report, that tells me Kristaps Porzingis is going to get a lot of minutes at that center. Probably going to see some Nemias Keita tonight, maybe some Sam Hauser as well. But, I mean, I think Sabonis should just absolutely destroy Kristaps Porzingis in the paint. That dude is notoriously, I wouldn't say soft, because he does have a little bit of bite to his dog. Mm-hmm. Like, Porzingis is a dog himself. He's a trash talker. He's a dude who's not afraid to get in your face, okay? He's from the mean streets of Latvia, okay?
Yep.
So he's not afraid to let you know how he feels. But in terms of how he plays,
yeah, it's just gameplay.
It's pretty soft. And Sabonis should be able to throw him around. We've seen him throw around Chet Holmgren. We saw him throw around Daniel Gafford the other night. You know, I could see a similar result for Porzingis. And, you know, anytime you get these battles, some international bigs too, there's always going to be a little bit of pride involved. I think Sabonis is going to take it to him. And if Malik's not going tonight, they're going to need Sabonis' playmaking more than ever.
There you go. Sabonis, that would be two really good games in a row.
Maybe back-to-back triple-doubles. I think I'm going to put that on the line there.
Say it with your chest then. There you go. All right, let's go with Simone. Who is your dog?
Okay. So we know our keys to the game. Definitely trying to dismantle all of this three ball, right? And I know Horford's out, Tatum's out. We still need a 3-and-D guy. And I got one.
Who?
Keegan Murray.
Wow.
He's
going to
be my dog of the game.
Did you mean Harrison Barnes?
Keegan
Murray.
There
that's going to be my dog.
So that would be a crazy stretch. And I know Simone's talking mostly defensively, but offensively, you go with the 47, then the 25. If he has another good game, that would be great for Keegan Murray.
Give me five 3 points.
Ooh, there we go. I like
it. Three-pointers. Okay, you guys are really...
Put the dog material out there.
Right, you know? Okay.
What counts as a dog performance?
I'm going with a bench player, and I'm not going with Kevin Huerter.
Okay.
Even though I do think he needs to ball out tonight, and I'm tempted, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, we're not allowing you.
Harrison Barnes has been balling, but I would say, especially if Malik Monk is out with that right foot irritation, I'm going with Sasha Vezenkov, just like Frankie Cardicelli. I think that Sasha is one guy you talk about. Oh, we know, you know, obviously the Celtics know he's a shooter, right? But he is the guy who can get his shot off quickly. If they go to help off somebody else, he's not afraid to take the open shot, especially when it comes through just throughout the course of the game and throughout the course of their system. So I'm going to go with Sasha Vezenkov and his ability to grab some rebounds as well. I'm going with Sasha. Going through the Sack Chat here, we have Emmy, who has Sasha as well. Andrew Cardwell, actually, this is the first time I've seen this. Coach Mike Brown as the dog tonight.
What would it take for Mike Brown to get dog of the game?
Man, it's got to be what it would
have to
be. It
doesn't have to be a tech, right? Like, it doesn't have to be with fire, right?
Yeah, I think it would have to be a really good, if it was a close game and a really good inbound play.
Sure.
I don't know. I think the first
time. You know it when you see it, I guess.
Right. The first time I'm probably going to pick my dog of the day, and we won't be able, we'll have to do it on Friday because it's a back-to-back for the T-Wolves. I would pick Coach Mike Brown against the T-Wolves. To say this will be the first time you're going to get that W against your back-to-back opponent in the Timberwolves. So that's who I would pick. But Andrew Cardwell has
Mike
Brown tonight.
I like
it. We also have We have Jess Escoto saying, of course, the Trey Bay.
Come on now.
It's going to be
Trey
Lyles
for Dog of the Day. Manny Too Legit, De'Aaron Fox, Dog for tonight. And there you go. A couple more. I'm scrolling through here. I'll continue to say them as we find them. But
see a De'Aaron in there.
De'Aaron
Manny
as well.
Too Legit.
There are going to be a lot of guys that have to show up. Scooter 916. I'm going to say Herter is going to have a breakout
there
game tonight. Herter is going for 25. Thank you, Scooter, because I couldn't say it. I wanted somebody to. Amid Rock, Trey Bay is my dog tonight. Manny Too Legit says, I called the DeMontis Sabonis triple-double last game as well. Shout out to Manny Too Legit and all of our sack chatters in there doing their thing. It's going to be all hands on deck. And you know what? To the point of Andrew Cardwell on the sack chat, you could have Mike Brown win dog of the game if they do come out and you have to go night-night. If it's, hey, guys,
I was thinking that too.
You know, if, hey, guys, Jason Tatum's out. Keep the pedal to the metal. Do not let up. And they just, if we get to see Ford or we get to see Colby Jones tonight.
For the right reasons,
then Coach Mike Brown could definitely
and
win.
Just a quick refresher for anyone just now joining the program. Mm-hmm. It's going to be 15 points. He has to say, I'm sorry. Yeah.
He has to
say,
thank you to the Warriors. Thank you, Warriors.
And then. Yeah.
25 or more, he has to do the night-night on video.
Perfect.
And not just the YouTube video. We'll get multiple videos.
Mm. Yeah. We'll see about that.
That's how much you love the Kings.
Yeah. Yeah, right. It's that, totally.
It's how much you love the Kings. that is what, you know, that is what it's really.
Looking at the Celtics minutes from yesterday, too, I mean, Jaylen Brown played 41 and had to score 28 points. Jason Tatum really didn't have it last night. So, in a way, like, you know, other guys were already having to probably exert more effort than what they typically would to try and pick up the slack for Tatum last night. And, yeah, Derek White played 40 minutes. Al Horford, who's not playing today, played 38. Even Drew Holiday, a guy who's been up there and, you know, back-to-back. So he's probably starting to feel those on his knees these days. Even he played 35 minutes yesterday.
We could talk about it more after the break, but Drew Holiday, we had this conversation when the Bucks moved off of him and how it was in part, hey, offensively, he doesn't seem to be that guy. We need a little bit more. Right. And I watched him. I think he had 13 last night. But he is a bit confusing offensively. Yeah. He's, like you said, bigger guy. I think he might have backed down Steph or somebody.
That sounds like
But
him.
He doesn't really – I think to that point, I thought he was – and we can look up the numbers after the break. I felt like he was a much more prolific three-point shooter.
He had like a 35 or 40-point game against the Kings. I think it was – 2 years ago, he's able to light it up. It's just, I mean, he's definitely not able to do it as much as he was before. And yeah, I mean, he's just not quite a, you know, he's not really like a 38, 39, 40% three-point shooter.
I wonder if it's a construction of the roster. I mean, you saw Marcus Smart not really know, okay, can I shoot now? Yeah. Then you have Derek White as well who shoots the basketball. Yeah. So is it that point guard position just feeling like a tweener? Hey, what?
Well, especially when the two Jaylens are going to – or the two Jays are going to have the ball in their hands so often. It's like I'm not even really like a true point guard?
Yeah, what am I actually supposed to do? Yeah. And
just hustle?
Yeah,
like,
just hustle.
Is he overqualified to do so even? Right. Like, you know, should he be given a bigger role? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, don't forget they have
– I mean, tonight, on a night like tonight's a day where he can step up, you know, with we'll Tatum see. Not being out
Where's
there.
Where's that bag?
They're going to need points.
Yeah, well, we don't want to see the bag, but maybe we can see the attempt at the bag. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, continue to break down Kings and Celtics. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. We will be joined by the Drive Guys in just a minute with Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper. Talking about tag teams, I'm trying to think of a game back in recess in PE where you actually did, hey, tag me in. And not capture. Yeah, I remember capture the flag was fire. Back in the day.
Red Rover.
Red Rover got dangerous.
Red Rover, I saw a girl I was in like third grade get clotheslined. Bad.
Yeah.
I don't know
why. I mean, that's pretty much the name of the game.
There's no way they still do that in school,
No, no, no. There's no way.
I hope they do.
No, I think it's a lot of those, like,
but it builds character.
Yeah. I think they use those parachute things.
And, yeah.
No, those were always safe and fun.
Before we get to Whitey and Draper, let's get out to Tin, who's been hanging out. 916-339-1140 wants to be a part of the show. What's up, Tin? What you got for us?
I got something, man. It's dating back to the beginning of the show when Chris was talking about the Celtics on a back-to-back, but really, he brought up a great point that they've been to the finals, they've been to this and that, you know, they're veterans at it. So really tonight, they're coming in fresh, really. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, you know, the finals, right? They play every other day, game one, game two, three, four, this and that, the series. So that basically damn near is a back-to-back, and you playing at that level, that competition too. So Boston's going to come hard tonight like they always do. Kings better protect the home court.
Yes, sir.
There you go, Tin. No, great call. Great call. Call of the day for sure. And that's a good point because the Celtics have a really good record. The Celtics are undefeated at home. The Kings only have a few losses at home. So they definitely want to protect home court. And we can all feel like that. But I think deep down the Kings know if you're going to get the Celtics – we know Jason Tatum, exactly. Even if you don't have Malik Monk. No Jason Tatum coming off a back-to-back. No Al Horford, who right. I know I joked about Al Horford a little bit, but no Al Horford to kind of to eat up those minutes as well. You got to get this one.
Totally. And then, you know, we talk about it more so thinking about back-to-backs, but with this just in general rough stretch of games, you would hope that the Kings look at this and say, this might be the easiest opportunity we exactly. get in this stretch. Of course, every game's incredibly important and you try and attack every game with the same mentality, but you know, it's human nature to not understand, okay, there's an open opportunity here or a more open opportunity that it'd be advantageous of us to take advantage of.
Right. When the West is as tough as it is, you got to take every opportunity and every, you know, softening that you can and take advantage of it. Let's bring in the Drive guys with Whitey and Draper. Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey. Yeah, we caught that little jab, by the way, Alan.
Which jab?
The jab of yours. The jab of, hey, we've got the Drive guys ready, but first, Chris, have you ever played Red Rover?
No, what?
Trying to eat into the time a little.
We got the Drive guys here, and look, let's ask the question. It just dropped that Jason Tatum, we don't know about Malik Monk, but we know Jason Tatum's out, Al Horford's out. Obviously, we're going to say the athlete and coach thing that your mentality shouldn't change. But if you are the Kings, you got to be salivating a little bit more here, right? You got to get this done now.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because when you look at, you know, historically against the Celtics, this has been a bad matchup for Sacramento. And to your guys' points, which you just said a couple of minutes ago, this is your best shot at knocking off these guys, I think. No Tatum tonight, no Al Horford. You're playing well. We'll see if Malik plays. I just had lunch with the Celtics sideline reporter, Abby Chen, and I felt confident, you know, going into this one. First of all, the Warriors did us a favor last night, extending these guys into overtime. And so there are no excuses not to get this win tonight, guys. A shorthanded Celtics team. You're on your home floor. You're playing the best ball of your season so far. We got to light the beam tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, if we lose, this would be a disappointing one if we lost tonight. Mm.
Yeah, Draper, and I'm curious. I know you have a little bit of a connection with this Celtics team and with all those that cover it. What have you really seen from the Celtics this season? Obviously, they've been incredible. The last season, there was tons of talk about how Joe Mazzulla was this, you know, figure that was holding them back. This year doesn't really seem like, or at least I haven't seen a ton of that. What have been your thoughts on the Celtics this season? And then last night, just them kind of blowing that game. How are people feeling in Celtics land these days? Because they're never really happy, are they?
Right. No, not at all. I mean, and I'm going to start with the latter part of that question. Last night, them collapsing against Golden State, that brought up some old wounds for Boston.
Right.
You know, that they're not necessarily a clutch team. Their decision-making down the stretch is something left to be desired. And so what we saw last night, some bad threes, iso ball once again, that's what doomed them against the Warriors a couple of years ago.
Yep.
You can't beat the Warriors by trying to go one-on-one, take contested threes. Why don't you get downhill, Jason Tatum? Why don't you get downhill, Brown? Jaylen Brown. And so I think, you know, Celtics land, you know, that's the talk today out there. And Boston is like, man, I thought we were a different team. I thought we learned our lesson. And some of those bad habits are sticking out again. You know, as to your first question, Chris, you know, what I'm seeing from Boston, we know how good Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are. Tremendous. But Kristaps Porzingis has been amazing for them this season. I mean, he's been, you know, and then you throw in Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday, his numbers may be down, but his impact is just as strong. He's focusing so much on a defensive end. He doesn't have to be an offensive weapon for this team to be good. And then you throw in Derek White,
who
might be the most improved player in the entire league this season. I mean, he's been as steady as they come. He was big again last night. And so this is going to be a tough matchup, man, even without Jason Tatum. Their size, their length, their defensive tenacity, their top six in offense and defense. And so it's going to be a good matchup, a good test tonight for Sacramento.
Yeah, Drew Holiday is what worries me about this matchup from the Kings standpoint, because he's got the wherewithal to disrupt the offense at its source, which, of course, is De'Aaron Fox. But last night, I mean, we all watched the game. Did you guys realize the Celtics took 58 threes?
No.
Yeah. Well, I knew they took a lot.
There's 108. I know it was overtime. There's 108 threes attempted in that game.
Oh, and I think, guys, you know, talking to people, you know, close to the organization, their rule is they want to get to 50 threes a game.
Really?
Like, that's their thing. Like, you know, we, you know, Sacramento, our number is about 45. The Celtics want to get 48, 49, 50 threes a game. 58 is a lot of threes. That's unheard of. But I think their thought is if they're open looks, they're good looks, we'll let them fly.
You know, we've also been talking about Kevin Huerter and how it's been kind of a tough go for him. We have here on the 916, going back to our dog segment, Sabonis back-to-back triple-doubles, book it and send him to the line from Keem. So that's a Sabonis pick, guys. You can give us your dogs if you want, but I also want to know, are you worried about Kevin Huerter, or when should we worry about Kevin Huerter? If Malik doesn't play tonight, I think that it is a great opportunity for him to get back going.
I'm not worried about Kevin Huerter. Is this what we're going to do, Allen Styles? Is this what we're going to do, Chris Watkins? Is this what we're going to do, Sacramento Kings fans? Kevin Huerter was balling out for a two-week stretch. Now that he's struggling a little bit, it's like, oh, are we worried? I'm not going to live on that roller coaster, guys, and nitpick when a guy goes through a rough stretch.
I don't even know if it was 2 weeks. He's been more of the guy that we've seen these last couple days than he's been that hot that hot piece that you've been talking about.
You know, when you look at what Kevin Huerter does, first of all, he's not playing as much as he used to. I mean, give Mike Brown credit. He's actually, you know, benching Kevin Huerter, playing 17, 18, 19, 20 minutes when, you know, as of late. And so if you're not getting it done, you know, Mike Brown is going to turn to other guys. But when you look at Kevin Herter's season, obviously he started off struggling. But then, you know, I'm going from game, and I got his box scores right here if we want to do that, game 6 through game 16. So I'm talking about a 10-game stretch. Let me do the quick math here, Allen Styles. This is for you, big dog. Over a 10-game stretch, he averaged 16.4 points, shot 43.6% from the field. So think about it. 10 of your 25 games he's been on. Remember, the first 6-7, he struggled. The last 5 or 6, he struggled a little bit. But I'm not going to nitpick. In fact, he's coming off back-to-back 11-point games. I'm not going to entertain that right now.
You know, Drake, you know, I'd love to continue this conversation. Simone's telling me we got to go. I'd love to keep talking about it.
Exactly.
I would love to. We got to go. I'll see you tonight, Drake. Don't you worry. I will see you tonight.
All right, we'll pick this up in person.
That's right. Thank you for listening, everyone, to Styles and Watkins. And continue to listen to The Drive Guys with Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper. And our crosstalk tomorrow, because that will be fun for sure as well. Until tomorrow, secure the bag, light the beam.